Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the largest online nursery in the USA? With more than 10,000 plant varieties and millions of satisfied customers. I have their trees and plants at my home, and they're fantastic. Have you had your fair share of landscaping woes and wasted weekends at crowded nurseries? Finding fast-growing trees will be like stumbling upon a hidden treasure, believe me. With fast-growing trees, it's different. From fruit trees to houseplants, they have it all delivered right to your doorstep. Plus, their plant experts are always available for advice. And here's the best part. This spring, they have up to half off on select plants. And my audience can get an extra 15% off by using promo code Bill at checkout. So please go to fastgrowingtrees.com, use promo code Bill at checkout. Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Bill O'Reilly here. Welcome to the No Spin News, Thursday, January 25th, 2024. Stand up for your country. Well, as we predicted yesterday, you know, I think that all the campaigns watch the No Spin News because it's just too much of a coincidence. When I say something on one day and 12 to 24 hours later, boom, you know, we know somebody's watching. So anyway, Nikki Haley is calling for a debate with Donald Trump. I said that was the first thing she was going to do after leaving New Hampshire and going back home to South Carolina. And that is the first thing she did. I debated the debate thing with Sean Hannity. I mentioned it yesterday. It's a good debate on the radio, and it's on BillO'Reilly.com free. You don't have to be a premium member. You don't have to juggle. You just go there and pop it up. He doesn't think, Hannity doesn't think that Trump should debate, and I do. I think it would be a mistake for Donald Trump not to debate Nikki Haley. I think he'd benefit from it big time. So the Haley challenge is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. The former ambassador to the United Nations, governor of South Carolina, is 52 years old. Donald Trump is 77. Okay, so Haley's saying he's an old guy. He's in decline cognitively. There's no difference between him and Biden. They're both old guys. They're both diminished. And she wasted no time putting that out there. Go.
And so he got upset and he said that he would take one and he'd challenge me to one and that he would beat me. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't. But what I said is, okay, well, if that's the case, then get on a debate stage and let's go. Bring it, Donald. Show me what you got.
All right. So she's talking about a cognitive test and whatever. Now, Haley's smart to do that. She got no chance to win, even if she whacks Trump in a debate, which to me would be almost impossible if Trump just stayed on how he governed. I mean, if he starts making fun of her dress and things like that, all right. But I have to assume that at this point in his life, that Donald Trump can rally around his accomplishments. Now, maybe I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, he's going to lose. He's not going to win. If he continues the personal stuff, the immature stuff, the election stuff, the January 6th stuff, all of that should be right out the window. Now, on WABC this morning, I was talking to Sid Rosenberg. We do that every Thursday. It's worth a listen. I think we have that posted as well. And Rosenberg said, well, Trump can't change that much because his audience is expecting him to be feisty and confrontative. He can be that. You can be that. I do it all the time. All right, I'm about as confrontational a broadcaster as you're going to find anywhere in the world. But I keep it at an elevated status. I keep it in policy. When I waxed Barney Frank, and if you haven't seen that, Bill O'Reilly, Barney Frank, boom. There was anger there in the air there, because Barney Frank, in my opinion, and we proved it, was lying. But it was about an issue. It was about banks lending money to people who couldn't pay the money back, therefore leading to a recession. That's what it was about. And it had nothing to do with Barney Frank's shoes or his lisp or whatever it may be. I would never do that. It doesn't get you anywhere. So Trump should turn this around and use the forum, the debate forum, to make his case to the country that he's would be a far better president than Joe Biden. Yeah, he's got to address Haley, but that's easy. It's simple. If you look at the core belief system, Haley's and Trump's belief system are very compatible. It's a matter of style. Okay, so in the meantime, Haley is being buoyed, word of the day, by Republican billionaires. It's very interesting. So next week, New York City, Leonard Stern, Stanley Druckenmiller, Ken Langone, Henry Kravitz, they're co-hosting a big fundraiser for Haley. Why? Because they're afraid Trump's going to lose. That's why. That's why they're doing it. And the Republican billionaires don't want the progressives to have four more years and a doddering Joe Biden, because they understand how much damage he's doing to the country. And they're worried that Trump will lose because of demeanor. And then Tim Draper, big Silicon Valley guy, has got a February 6th fundraiser for Haley. February 15th, Harlan Crow, the big Dallas real estate guy. And then a fundraiser by Ross Perot Jr., Susan Rockefeller, Karl Rove's ex-wife or current wife, Karen. No, it's his wife, Karen, Pat Toomey, on and on and on and on. So the Republican establishment, okay, is worried about Trump, that he will lose. So Haley's going to have a massive amount of money. But it won't matter, because the MAGA people will override the moderate Republicans. I wrote a message of the day on BillO'Reilly.com. This is the third tip now. First we got Hannity, then we got Sid on WABC. Now we got message of the day. Excuse me. And I pinpoint why Trump overwhelms Haley among Republicans. And it all has to do with anger. Okay? So you might want to read that. In a CNN exit poll in New Hampshire, 70% of those who voted for Nikki Haley on Tuesday aren't Republicans. But what does that tell you? That the Republican MAGA people, the folks, are going to vote for Trump. And it doesn't matter how much money Haley raises. And it doesn't matter what she does in a debate. They're going to stand by their man. And that's a memo.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been delivering on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes. Heroes who put their lives on the line to protect our country and our communities. Heroes like Bristol, Connecticut Police Sergeant Dustin DeMonte. After responding to a domestic violence incident, he sustained fatal gunshot wounds. He left behind his expectant wife and two children. Thanks to the generosity of people like you, Tunnel to Towers paid the mortgage on the DeMonte family home, lifting a financial burden. As his loved ones mourned the decorated officer's loss, they welcomed a miracle, the child he would never get to meet. So many families need your help. Please help America's heroes and their young families. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good in their honor. 95 cents out of every dollar you donate goes to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Sorting through your expenses, estimated payments, and all those tax deductions can be overwhelming, might even lead to a failure to file and failure to pay penalties that pile up on your tax debt. The attorneys at Tax Network USA have been lifesavers for many Americans. Their team has successfully saved clients more than $1 billion in tax debt. $1 billion. Whether you're in the hole for $10,000 or $10 million, they are ready to help. The expert attorneys and tax professionals at Tax Network USA are equipped to secure the best settlement for you and help you resolve all tax cases. So please go to taxnetworkusa.com/bill, or you can call 1-800-245-6000. These debt relief programs are expected to change, so get started now. Please go to taxnetworkusa.com/bill, or you can call 1-800-245-6000. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. All right, Joe Biden goes to Minnesota, Wisconsin. He lands in Minnesota, goes over to Wisconsin. There's a bridge, John Blatnick Memorial Bridge, okay? So Biden's going there to announce he's federal government's going to kick $5 billion with a B into this bridge for $34 trillion, I should say. I can't even keep track of it. $34 trillion debt in this country. And Biden's running around going, hey, want a few billion? Hey, hey, Zelensky, you want 65 more billion? Hey, yeah, hey, here you go. Hey, there you go. Border or near Halloween billions? Hey, come on. This is so irresponsible. Never solves the problem. Now, maybe the bridge needs the $5 billion. I don't know. I don't know the bridge. But this is all the Democrats have. More spending, more spending, more taxes, more taxes. My God. Biden yesterday kicks off his campaign. Tuesday. In Northern Virginia, Manassas. So he and Vice President Harris go out, and it's all about abortion. Abortion, abortion, abortion. We dealt with this yesterday. So if you're from Botswana and you just arrive here in America, you would think abortion is the most noble thing in the world. It's great. Abortion, yeah. It's a destructive procedure. Necessary sometimes, absolutely. Save a mother's life from catastrophic health, necessary, but not noble. So Biden says it is. More abortions are better. There isn't, and I have my research team. He has never said, Joe Biden, since he has been vice president or president, that there should be any restraints on abortion. None. Whatever time you want, ninth month, whatever reason, you got a headache, panic attack, whatever. Oh, Joe's okay with it. All right, so the bishop, Catholic bishop, in Northern Virginia, a man named Michael Burbidge, puts out a statement. Here it is. President Biden has made abortion the centerpiece of his campaign. At a rally in Manassas, he advocated for codifying Roe v. Wade into law. It is incredibly devastating to know President Biden would place choice above his sacred duty to protect life. Despite what this administration claims, taking the life of an innocent child is never a choice. Women who are facing unexpected or difficult pregnancies deserve assistance that affirms and supports life, not destroy it, unquote. Okay, so Biden, and this is a personal matter with him, not a public matter, goes against a basic tenet of his church, of his religion. Now, while we couldn't find any restraint in the past 15, 20 years, we went back further on Biden. Listen to this. This is amazing. In 1977, while he was a senator from Delaware, there was a compromise to allow Medicaid, that's government-run funds for the poor, to fund abortions. Biden wrote against it. 1977. No public funds for abortion, Joe Biden. All right. 1981, same thing. Rape and incest then were included in this Medicaid situation. Biden had rape and incest taken out. 1981. 1986, he told a Catholic newspaper, abortion is wrong from the moment of conception, unquote. That's 1986. So here we have a man who has done a complete 180 on a moral issue with no explanation. None. Now, I've told you and told you and told you, Joe Biden believes in nothing. There isn't anything he believes in. There's no moral compass, no moral foundation. He's a man of no seasons. Whatever propels him to power and wealth, and you'll see, that's coming, okay, he's going to do. That's pretty despicable, in my opinion. All right, Jill Biden, just as bad. Firstly, just as bad. But she doesn't parade around as the Catholic of the year like her husband does. So she is bringing Kate Cox, 31 years old, Dallas, Texas, mother of two. Ms. Cox had to have an abortion, in her opinion and her doctor's opinion as well, because she was pregnant with a rare disorder that increases the risk of stillbirth. So she couldn't get the abortion because she was 20 weeks pregnant. In Texas, she had to leave the state to get it. Very tragic situation. Right? No matter where you stand on the issue, my God. So she's coming to the State of the Union as Jill Biden's guest. They are exploiting her. That's what they're doing. All right, TV ratings for the New Hampshire primary. I knew this was going to be a disaster. All the primetime coverage, 6 million Americans watched. All of them added up. All right? 4 years ago, about 9 million watched. This is cut two-thirds. One-third cut. Okay? Now, 6 million people watching is nothing. It's nothing. I had 6 million people watch on The Factor on many nights. There are 125 million homes in the United States with television sets. 6 million watched. What does that say? Number one, most people aren't paying attention yet, if you can believe it. I can't believe it. It's such an important election. But that's what it says. They're not dialed in yet. And number two, they're bored already. Already they're bored. Okay? That's what it tells me. It also is on the shoulders of the television personalities themselves. As we told you yesterday, we ran a montage. The most incisive comment I heard was, we'll have to wait and see. And then we listed, you know, about 20 seconds. I think there were six. Come on. If you're being paid a lot of money to deliver television analysis, you got to have more than we have to wait and see. You got to have more than, what do you make of that? You got to have more than, tell me more. Come on. You know, believe me, if I went in and ran a news operation, a cable news operation, I'd have to let 50% of the personnel go. Because they're just incompetent. They can't do it. It's not like the No Spin News where we have the Navy SEALs here. All right, Pew Research. This is a social thing, American society. 5,755 respondents, okay, equally divided, Republican, Democrat. Your religious beliefs, Okay. U.S. adults who identify as Protestant, 40%. Catholic, 20%. That's down. Unaffiliated, those are called nuns, not Catholic nuns, N-O-N-E-S, nuns. We don't have any religion. 28%. Okay, other faith, 9%. Percentage of the nuns, the people, I don't really care about this, who are atheists, 17. That's pretty low. Agnostic, that means I don't know, and I don't really care. Okay, 37% of the nuns. And the other nuns, they basically say, hey, I believe in a higher power, but I worship my own way, and that's okay, I guess. But without structure, without guidance, without discipline, what good is it? I don't know. Maybe it's good for you. And the younger people, 18 to 29, they dominate. There's no religious instruction in public school, as you know. At home, very little, unless you're a traditional home. If you're in a traditional home, then you get it.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day, and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast. Politics by Faith.
Okay. Smart life. This is an important segment. So a lot of Americans are overweight. I think it's half of us are overweight. And some of us are on the way to the grave because we're too zoftig. Okay? So losing weight makes you healthier, makes you look better. It's important. Many millions of Americans, led by Marie Osmond, who's on television more than anyone. I think Marie Osmond's on television more than anyone, okay, is losing weight. Good. Now, to me, I've gone over this before. If you cut out the sugar and fast food and you walk 3-4 times a week, you'll lose weight. Now, you got to discipline yourself. Maybe 2 desserts a week, maybe 1 pizza a week, you know, pizza dinner once, but you got to get away from the fat and the garbage, all right, the junk food. And sugar is going to kill you. Now, once in a while, okay, but if you're eating sugar every day, it's a matter of when, not if. Okay, so there was a study done by dietitians, and it said, weight loss is a personal journey. I hate that, okay? And you should keep it personal. I like that, all right? Because if you broadcast your quest to lose weight, you may get snide criticism. You know how people are. And unwanted comments. Well, why do you want that stress? Why? So this applies not only to losing weight, but it applies to anything personal in your life that you're trying to do, good or bad. Don't broadcast it. Now, if you have a confidant, somebody who's stood the test of time, somebody you can actually look at and say, just between you and me, and no, it's going to be kept just between you and me, and that's rare. That is rare. But if you have somebody, then you can talk about anything. And I hope you do have somebody. I really hope you do. But most people don't. And broadcasting about your weight problem or whatever it is that's ailing you or your family problems, don't do it. Don't do it. Unless you think the person can help, really, in a profound way. But even then, boy, you got to be careful. So keep it to yourself. Discipline. And they give you a tip here. Walk 10,000 steps a day and use a fitness app to track. Okay. I don't walk 10,000 steps a day because Holly the Terror Dog's a little dog. Okay? I have to drag Holly the Terror Dog when I take her out because I have a big stride. And I'm like, when I go out to walk, I move it. And there's Holly going like this. I don't walk 10,000 steps a day. I say 5,000 steps a day. So you get the little gizmo, you put it on your, so whatever it is, I don't even have it. I don't care. Okay? But I walk as much as I can. All right? That combined with a better diet, then I don't have a weight problem. And the reason I don't have one is because of clothes. I get free clothes. Okay? And if I get chubby, I grow out of the free clothes. So therefore, I have to buy the clothes. No, I don't want to do that. I like the free clothes. Okay. What do you want to do with your life if you're under 30? If you're over 30, you're already in. You know what you're doing. So there is a Gallup survey released this week about honesty and ethics, how Americans see various professions. And we are going to discuss it now. It's very interesting. Clergy. Please tell me how you would rate the honesty and ethical standards of the clergy in this country. High, 32%. That's not good. Average, 45. Low, 20. Now, my experience with the clergy in Catholic circles, 50% good, 50% no. Members of Congress, high honesty and ethics, 6%. Average 24, low 70. This is embarrassing. 70% of Americans believe Congress is corrupt. And they have good reason. Because they're in there and they get very little done. It's all about me, right? All about me. Not about you, the voter, the American citizen. Next one. Senators. So members of Congress, congresspeople, senators. Pretty much the same. High ethics, 8, average 30, low 61. They're held in a little bit more esteem. This one surprised me. Lawyers, 16, high, average 52, low 31. I would flip the average and the low. Okay? But maybe it's because I live in the Northeast. And there's a different, the legal firm here is absolutely falling apart. No, probably in other parts of the country, it's not this bad. You need a good lawyer, a trusted lawyer. Medical doctors, high 56, average 30, low 13. Okay, that's good. You need a good doctor. Nurses, high 78, much higher than doctors. Average 18, low 3. Nursing is a noble profession. Police officers, high 45, average 37, low 18. I think that's a little low for me. I think police officers, generally speaking, across the country, could earn a lot more money doing something else. That's number one. So you got to respect the fact that they're protecting and serving at a lower salary. And most of them are honest. Journalists, hello, journalists. High ethics, 19, average 34, low 47. That's cutting journalists a break. Right now, 50%, maybe 55% of journalists are corrupt. By that, I mean, they do what they're told to do. Now, if you don't, then you're going to have to move on. Because if your immediate superior in a newsroom news organization tells you to do something and it's wrong and you don't do it, bye, you're gone. There's no appeal. There's no anything. Okay? You're dead. So I understand what's happening. But you have to live with it. I never lived with it. Okay? So I moved all over the country, mostly good experiences, but some bad. Some corrupt. I walked right out of the corrupt places. Bye. See you. Not going to do it. Yeah, I know it's a self-aggrandizement for me, but you could ask anybody. And I've been in journalism now 49 years. I got a lot of people that I worked with. You could ask anybody. I would never do anything corrupt. It was so offensive to me. I'm going out and covering a story in an honest way. I'm not letting you change my script. I write every word I say. I always have. Nobody writes for me, ever. All right. Florida, let's go back down. So you know I'm mad at Pensacola for taking books out of the school libraries. John Grisham, Stephen King, and Frank Bill O'Reilly. Killing Jesus, Killing Reagan. Inexplicable. And these pinheads in that school district did it because they could. Because the law is too vague about what books can be in school libraries. So they're idiots and they're abusing the children. The more Jesus the kids can get, the better. Okay. So now there's a new law down there in Florida. Florida Board of Governors says that the 12 major universities in Florida, as well as 28 smaller colleges, cannot use any state or federal money to promote any DEI. That's diversity, equity, inclusion. Now, the problem is that's very subjective. Now, here's what the Florida people say. It says you cannot promote preferential treatment on the basis of race, color, sex, national origin, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Any program that does that can't get any money. Can't promote it. I'm afraid that the fanatics are going to go in and wreck some good programs under this law, because that's what happened under the books. So I'm watching it, all right? But Florida is the most conservative state in the union when it comes to attacking DEI, no question about it. All right, here's a fun story. This day in history, January 25th, 1970, a movie debuted across the country. I saw this movie very early on. It starred Donald Sutherland, Elliot Gould, Sally Kellerman, and Robert Duvall. The movie was called MASH. Roll it.
I've also noticed that nurses as well as enlisted men address you as Hawkeye.
Yeah, because that's my name, Hawkeye Pierce.
Well, that kind of informality is inconsistent with maximum efficiency in a military organization.
Come off it, Major. You put me right off my fresh fried lobster. Do you realize that? I'm going to go back to my bed. I'm going to put away the best part of a bottle of scotch. And under normal circumstances, you being normally what I would call a very attractive woman, I would have invited you back to share my little bed with me, and you might possibly have come. But you really put me off. I mean, you're what we call a regular army clown.
I wonder how a degenerated person like that could have reached a position of responsibility in the Army Medical Corps.
He was drafted.
It's a great movie. If you haven't seen MASH, you need to. So well written, won the Academy Award for original screenplay and the acting and everything. And now it's an anti-war film, and they put it out. Robert Altman is director. He's kind of a crazy guy. Legend. But it was the Vietnam era, okay? This was 54 years ago, January 25th, 1970. Right in the middle of the Vietnam thing. And this war, this movie took place in Korea, the Korean War, but it was really about Vietnam. And the message was that war is bad and all that. But they did it so well, okay? And one of my favorite movies of all time. So then 2 years later, The movie made, by the way, about $82 million, and it cost $3 million to make. So big home run back in 1970. Then 2 years later, it was a TV show. They morphed it because, you know, there was the material was there, people liked it, whatever. The only actor who appeared in both TV and a movie is Gary Bergdorf, who played Radar O'Reilly. So, of course, I have an affinity for Gary. He was the only one that crossed over. The TV show starred Alan Alda, Wayne Rogers, Loretta Swit. Same thing, all right? But it became a monster hit. 11 years it ran and had the biggest TV audience for a finale ever. I think it was more than Seinfeld. Cheers, they're all up there. But at the time, I mean, the thing was just overwhelming. So MASH, 1970, debuted today. Okay, mail segment, a final thought. And the final thought is going to pertain directly to your life if you get upset. Most human beings get upset. Some don't. Some are zombies, but most do. If you do, hang tough for my final thought. Right back.
The media has systematically lied to you. The Hunter Biden laptop story, the origin of COVID-19, the Trump-Russia collusion hoax, or how your money's being spent in Ukraine. Enough already with the lies. No more lies, hard truths only. That's what the Truth Podcast is all about. It's not standard conservative talking points. If you want that, go somewhere else. But if you want the hard truth delivered to you in a way that challenges you and will challenge me intellectually, you're not going to find anything like this on the internet. Subscribe, download now, The Truth.
Okay, let's get to the mail. We got Melly. Any other Catholic that would run out publicly and endorse abortion would have to answer to the church, yet Joe Biden skates through it without any penalty. Not where I am. The Roman Catholic authorities here in the Northeast, they don't sanction people. They don't. And that's a bone of contention. But the bishops don't want any controversy. They don't. So then Joe Biden is not denied communion except in San Francisco, very conservative archbishop there. I think the guy in Northern Virginia that we quoted earlier, I think he has told Biden, don't show up here. But Joe Biden can walk into 90% of the American Catholic churches and get communion. And that's just the way it is. George, concierge member. Thank you, George. O'Reilly says Trump should debate Haley. Then O'Reilly admits she will try to slime him. Then O'Reilly admits that before any words are uttered, the press will declare Haley the winner. Somehow this is supposed to be convince Trump to do with the debate. Okay, look. Yes, Haley's going to attack Trump, try to provoke him. Trump's going to know that going in, right? What did Ronald Reagan do? There you go again, okay? Easy, pop, swat it, okay? Yes, the press is going to say Haley won, even if she collapses on stage and has to be stretchered off. Of course, we all know that. In that exposition, Haley-Trump debate, you will have millions of independent voters watching. They're not going to watch the mega rallies. Not going to mega rallies. They're not going to even go to the town halls with Donald Trump. He gets maybe 4 million people now to watch the town halls. All of them are going to vote for him. That is a big opportunity. David Huddle, UConn, Oklahoma. I agree that Trump should use a debate with Haley to bring up Biden's shortcomings while being polite to the ambassador, and that would win over a lot of voters. Okay, so I understand this controversy. Again, my debate Hannity on it, and you can listen to that. James Holland, El Paso, Texas. I disagree with you on Trump debating Haley. To me, that would just legitimize her candidacy and make people feel he's afraid of her. No, it's the opposite. If he doesn't debate, he's afraid of her. And legitimize her candidacy, James? She's in the game. Okay, she's got hundreds of thousands of votes in New Hampshire. and Iowa. You don't have to legitimize her candidacy. She's there. Randall Dean, Battle Creek, Michigan. It's hard to watch someone so full of themselves that they won't concede defeat and are delusional, such as Haley. Who would vote for a delusional person? Well, 80 million Americans voted for Joe Biden. I don't get more delusional than he is. So I don't think Nikki Haley is delusional. She's a politician. That's what politicians do. I don't think she's delusional. Ed, not sure what Haley should do, but I know what Trump should do. Start acting presidential and gracious. All right. I'm for that. But remember, Trump supporters want him to be feisty. I think he can do both. Joe Milligan, Galleon, Ohio. I respectfully disagree with you regarding razor wire removal in Texas, O'Reilly. When the federal government refuses to enforce immigration law, does not Governor Abbott have a duty to do everything he can to protect the citizens of Texas? He can't violate the Constitution. The governor of Texas cannot do that. And the border and enforcement of it is solely the responsibility of the federal government. It's what Biden's doing is so wrong, and I understand why the governor of Texas is doing what he's doing, but you got to obey the Constitution. Well, you don't have a country. Aaron McGillicuddy, Houlton, Maine. Hey, Bill, I was surprised when you mentioned Houlton tonight on the Noseman News. We will be put on the map April 8th when thousands show up for the total solar eclipse. Would love to see you here. I'd love to get up there for that. I won't be able to because of, you know where I'm going to be April 8th? Malta. I'm going to be in Malta on April 8th. I'll tell you as it gets closer. But anyway, we love Maine. Bryce Pavlish, Henderson, North Carolina. Enjoying Killing the Witch is very interesting. I read mostly historical books, so keep them coming. I find this book particularly thought-provoking. Yeah, and that's why we wrote it. You know, you want the witch hunt? It's back here in America. Okay, all the Killing books bundled together are yours for a very fair price on BillO'Reilly.com. In our store, there they all are. And we will have a new book to announce on Monday. Brand new book, out early September. It's one of the hardest books that I've ever written. It's a tough, tough, not quite finished it yet, but zeroing in. But I don't want to overhype. Monday here on the No Spin News, we'll tell you all about it. Word of the day, do not be bumptious, B-U-M-P-T-I-O-U-S, bumptious. All right, back with a final thought about what to do when you get upset. Okay, final thought of the day, we all get upset, and, well, there may be a few exceptions. People who just don't have any emotion, but most people, okay. And there's nothing wrong with that, particularly if it's righteous. Somebody offends you, does something mean to you, does something wrong in your presence, whatever. You know, it's natural. But there's a way to do it. And I have spent some time in Asia. All right? You can't call it the Orient anymore. I don't know why you can't call it. If anybody knows why you can't call it the Orient anymore, please let me know. Bill@BillO'Reilly.com. Bill@BillO'Reilly.com. Name and town, of course. But Orientals, the Orient, no. The woke people, no, you can't do that. You're a racist. Okay. So I've spent some time in Asia. And the societies over there, obviously, are different than they are in the West. So Asians don't like to show emotion. They're stoic. They're passive in the face of personal interactions. Okay? And some of that's bad. You want people to be kind of upfront, but some of it is good. So my rule now, and I sometimes don't obey my own rule, is I wait 48 hours 2 days. If it's a serious situation that has gotten my attention emotionally, I wait 48 hours because I'm Irish. Irish people have a tendency to, boom, lash right out, right? And I've done that my whole life. I'm a good lasher out. But it has not helped me. So I'm rethinking it. So I try to wait 48 hours before I respond to anything emotionally that I feel is wrong. Now, if it's crazy stuff, you got to respond right then. So if it's a little kid jumping up and down, screaming and yelling, hitting himself in the head with a plate, okay, hey. But if it's an insult, a slight, a controversy, 48 hours will give you perspective, give you time to think about the most effective way to do it. Now, a lot of people don't want to do that. They like the emotional displays. They like getting all crazy. You know them. You know them. They love it. They the more emotional display, the better. It's fun. It's lively, whatever it may be. But if you really want to solve problems and you really want to handle yourself in a way that's most effective, adopt the Asian outlook. Step back. Note it. Don't let it go. I mean, particularly if it's serious. If it's not serious, then you can. But if it's serious, somebody insults you, somebody's doing something terrible, don't let it go. But give yourself time to formulate a strategy. That is the final thought of the day. So we got a Sunday column about President Biden and all the people who are becoming addicted to narcotics and dying. Where do you see the stats that I'm going to present on Sunday? Horrifying. Joe Biden care? No, not at all. You never hear him talk about it, ever. Doesn't care. And then we'll get into why he doesn't care. So that's something. We're going to tell you about the new book on Monday. And then next week, got a big, strong lineup as the best election coverage in the country continues. Thank you for watching No Spin News. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.